Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Today on the podcast, we are all things gridiron history for April 11th as we talk about a radio broadcast that makes history and some great Hall of Famers celebrating their birthdays, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where we were celebrating April 11th gridiron history for this episode, and we have a lot of it to talk about, including some Hall of Fame birthdays we're going to get to. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the radio. I mean, how many times I can remember as a kid, you know, back in the 1970s, even television was a little bit more prevalent, but laying in bed, you know, my mother would send me to bed at whatever my bedtime was, 9 o'clock or whatever, but I can remember turning on that clock radio, leaving that timer on so it would, as I fell asleep, it would turn off, and mom would never really know. But I listened to like a Pirates baseball game or any baseball game was on, or even Monday Night Football when it was a school night and you weren't allowed to stay up and watch the television. You're just hearing those great broadcasts. Well, today, that takes us into some great football history because of some radio history, not necessarily with a football game, but on April 11, 1921, KDKA radio station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, broadcasted the first radio sporting event, a boxing match that featured Johnny Ray versus Johnny Dundee for the first lightweight boxing match wireless broadcast. Later that same year, on October 8th, 1921, marked a significant day in a game of football. On that day, the first live sports radio broadcast of a football game aired on KDKA, same station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The game was played at Forbes Field between the West Virginia University and the University of Pittsburgh. Very famous day. We talked about it on our October 8th podcast for that anniversary. Go back and check that out in our archives, pigskindispatch.com/podcast. Go to the October 8th edition, and you'll listen to that great podcast there. So now we get into our Hall of Fame birthdays, and we have some special ones. April 11, 1916, Pearl River, New York, the hard-hitting guard from Colgate University from 1933 to the 1935 seasons, Danny Fortman was born. Danny's story starts him off by attending Colgate in pursuit of a medical education to launch him in a career being a physician. As a 17-year-old sophomore, Fortman tried out for the football team, and what good fortune that was for him and the team. The NFF has quite a few quotes from Colgate coach Andy Kerr, who says, "He was the best player I ever coached. He blocked with the sureness of a chopping axe, and his keen sense of play development, he always seemed to turn up where he could be most effective." I don't know if I've ever heard that before. The keen sense of play development and his sureness of a chopping axe. That's some pretty strong words there. Fortman was also a key reason for the success of the program in both his junior and senior seasons as well. Kerr went on to say, "A key block by Danny made possible our first touchdown against Holy Cross in 1934 on an 85-yard punt return and started us on the way to a spectacular victory," Kerr proclaimed. Against undefeated Syracuse that season, Danny turned the tie by leading the three Stonewall stands within our 5-yard line. Again, his blocking set up a great punt return that clinched victory. Daniel Fortman received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1978. And Danny graduated with a medical degree that he sought for, but football in him was not yet complete. Most of the NFL felt that the 6-foot, 200-pound Fortman was too small of a player to take a chance on. But the Chicago Bears took a flyer on him in the ninth and final round of the very first NFL draft, 1936. And he signed a contract with George Halas that earned him $110 per game. That's not too shabby back then. He proved his worth right away at a ripe old age of 20 years old and became the NFL's youngest starter. In just 8 seasons with the NFL, the Bears, the undersized Fortman, earned All-Pro honors 6 times, and 2 other years he was a second-team All-NFL selection. In 1965, Danny Fortman was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and while playing with the Bears, Danny earned his doctorate and became one of the country's leading surgeons after his football career was over. Great story there. April 11, 1916, Tiburon, California, the tough University of California halfback from 1935 to the 1937 era, Sam Chapman arrived into this life. The Football Foundation org's bio on Sam says that while the University of California at Berkeley, the 6-foot, 188-pound Tiburon Terror was one of the key players responsible for the great Thunder teams at Cal. His running, kicking, and defensive work often carried the Golden Bears to victory, and in the eyes of Coach Stubb Allison, he was better all-purpose back than the legendary Red Grange. I don't know how that could be possible, because Red Grange was pretty good. As a sophomore in 1935, Chapman caught a 20-yard pass from Bill Archer right near the USC 25-yard line, and then somehow kept his balance on a rumbling, tumbling, stumbling manner and carried the ball across the goal line. Sam haunted the Trojans again the next season, as he too took a Vic Batari's 25-yard pass to the USC 9-yard line and ran in for the touchdown that won the game 13-7 for the Bears. Chapman was a consensus All-American selection in 1937. And sparked the Golden Bears to a 13-0 victory over Alabama in the 1938 Rose Bowl game. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed the display in honor of Sam Chapman in their legendary museum in 1984. April 11, 1941, Salt Lake City, Utah. Jim Romig, the two-way guard linebacker of the University of Colorado in the seasons of 1959 to 1961, made his entrance into the world. Romig was an all-conference 3 years and All-America 2 years, according to the NFF, and was a defensive signal caller and captain. In 1961, he was the 6th in the voting for the Heisman Trophy, the highest-ranking lineman on the list, and the university retired his number 67 jersey after his final game. The National Football Foundation selected Jim Romig for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame, also in 1984. April 11th, 1962, Ames, Iowa. The Georgia Bulldogs stud safety from 1980 to 1983, Terry Hogue, was born. The NFF tells us he was a great playmaker right from the onset, as in 1981 at the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame, he blocked a field goal attempt. That block helped Georgia win the game and finish the season 12-0 and win the national championship. As a junior in 1982, he led the nation with 12 pass interceptions and was named All-American a second time, as well as earning academic All-American awards. As a senior, he was really lights out, earning consensus All-American honor a second time, academic All-American a second time, as well as the SEC academic a third time. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year for the second time that season, and with Hogue in the defensive backfield, the Bulldogs had the best record of any major division team, as they went 43-4-1. The honors continued later, as the NCAA gave him a Big Five award, given annually to the nation's top 5 outstanding athletes. The SEC named him to its 25-year team, 1961 to 1985. The Walter Camp Foundation named him to its all-century team, and Terry Hogue's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in the year 2000. And somebody else that ought to be in some kind of a Hall of Fame is Arnie Chapman, because he is putting together just an all-star cast at the Sports History Network. If you haven't checked it out yet, folks, please go to sportshistorynetwork.com and check out the exciting things that are happening there. We have upwards of 20 different podcasts on there right now, some great articles on there, links to other sites, including the Pigskin Dispatch, at hours and hours and hours of listening, probably days worth of listening to great podcasts. You can just stay locked on to sportshistorynetwork.com. And if you want to check out the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, you can check it out at sportshistorynetwork.com, or go to our website, pigskindispatch.com/podcast. All of our podcasts are right there for your easy listening, catching up on some of those older episodes, including that October 8th when we talk about KDKA's first broadcast of a football game, that WVU Pitt game that we talked about earlier in this podcast. So, you know, make sure you check those out. Check back every day for more Pigskin history on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, and we will bring it to you because we are here every single day. And we've got a lot coming up this week on the Football by Numbers. Later in the week, Saturday the 17th, we have a special edition as we are going to go into Walter Camp's birthday. Yes, the founder of modern football, the guy that created the scrimmage line and scrimmage and centers and a bunch of other things. We are going to bring an author that wrote a book on Camp in, and it's going to be a great time to celebrate the birth of football's founder on Saturday, April 17th. Make sure you check it out. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.